the classic ham radio episode, Girl Music, somewhere in the 40s. I don't remember which episode. It was an epic, back when I used to do the four-hour epic shows.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw it, of course, and when I saw the title, I was like, ah, excellent, Girl Music. I love music by, about, and even for girls. Right. So,
yeah, and I remember in the actual show itself, me and Ian had a little bit of debating about what makes something girl music, and I didn't really know. I didn't have a clear idea. But basically, the whole idea with that show was, in the back of my mind, I always kind of wanted to do one expressly to play an NSYNC song, because there is nothing in my musical palette that I legitimately enjoyed more embarrassing and ridiculous than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I can get away with almost anything, but that was, like, too far. I was like, I'm going to need to craft a whole show around this concept just to squeeze in an NSYNC song. But I never did it until I realized how catchy the Black Eyed Peas can be. And those two together tipped the scale, and I was like, I'll do one. And then I was going to do the counterpart show about guy music, and that seemed so very boring that I just didn't.
So it seemed kind of obvious, actually, to me that you know, you were doing it to put in this one song, or not, I didn't know which song you were doing it to put it in, but yeah, you know, I thought maybe Unhappy Anniversary.
Yeah, well, see, that wasn't part of my initial intention. Somehow we got there, and in the rambling course of that four-hour show, that's another one that I probably wouldn't have, I don't know, I might have worked that into a ham radio at some point.
Now, the weird thing is, I did get the sense, after listening to that, that you were, you know, what you were talking about on that show, or the point of that, was guilty pleasures, right?
Right.
And then, of course, I thought to myself, you know, what is the guiltiest pleasure I have in that, in the musical sense? And, of course, you know, I'm not going to play that one tonight, you know, because I had a friend of mine analyze it. I was like, what do you think of this song? Because is this song too, you know, too queer to play? You know, like, what is going on here, right? And he what he did was, he managed to dissect it. He said, well, that song, I know why you like that song. It sounds like the following five Beatles songs mashed together. And it's true. I even have, like, a sample audio file here, you know, that presents all this, all of it accurately. I'm like, holy crap, you know? Right. I made it, right? But it's like, yeah, that part is from that song, and that part's from this other Beatles song, and there's a part from an Ozzy Osbourne song. Yep.
But we will not be experiencing
this to be continued? Well, no, I don't know. Like, the problem is that after going through this analysis, I'm not sure I like this song anymore.
Right?
Right? I like all of the, I realize that I really do kind of like all the songs it's derived from better.
So we got, after all this talking, at least say what the song is.
Okay, it's Tonight by the New Kids on the Block.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one?
No. Nope.
Well, we'll listen to it, but I really don't know if the if the readers need to.
How you get in the girls? Ooh, in the girls.
Yeah, no question. That is unquestionably unlike any other New Kid song I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's what Jeremy said. He's like, that song is, you know, nothing like, you know, any other New Kids on the Block song ever. And of course, it's the only one of theirs I like.
That really does seem like whoever's behind the man behind the music, that's his like crazy musical genius song or whatever. Just like, not saying it is a musical genius song, but his idea of it, of like in the lab and like going nuts and working things together.
Yeah. Man. And yeah, it's a very catchy song. And the reason for that was something that, you know, Jeremy, who has an encyclopedic knowledge of Beatles songs, said, that sounds like a bunch of Beatles songs. And he says that about everything. But man, he was not kidding. Right?
For real this time. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, not just saying that.
Yeah, like, for instance, he said that there's an Ozzy Osbourne song, actually, at the beginning, right? And then the rest is Beatles. So, goodbye to... What is that? Goodbye to Romance is the Ozzy Osbourne song that has parts that sound like the intro. Yeah, so this is a remake, or a cover of the... Ozzy Osbourne song Goodbye to Romance, but it had the section, so.
Yesterday has been and gone. Tomorrow will I find the sun, or will it rain?
And that's the intro.
Yeah, that sounds very similar-y.
And then I thought that he was stretching a little bit in terms of this one, but, you know, the Beatles song Fool on the Hill contains...
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
And it's hard to hear that, but I kind of believe it. That's a cool song, too.
There's a lot of Beatles songs, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I thought. Now, of course, this is cool. Right, the fanfare bit, you know? And it's not just because it has a fanfare, it's like the same, you know, kind of chord progression thing going on. Oh yeah, that bit, yeah. Yeah, it's like, just, oh, you know.
So in some ways, this is like when Weird Al does his sound-alikes, you know?
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, the chorus. Tonight, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, tonight.
Lady Madonna.
Remember exactly which part this one is, but I remember it's uncanny. Ta-da!
Shameless, New Kids. Just shameless.
I know, eh? Yeah. It's like, how do the New Kids on the Block write a good song? Well... that laugh didn't... That's not going to come out well on tape. But yeah, so... Anyway, so I went and came up with that, like, and then, you know... But of course, really, it's much more interesting to talk about girl music itself.
So I'm right in assuming that your basic stance is that no one should ever be ashamed of their musical predilections?
Well, after looking at me, you just can't be, right? Like...
See, that's the thing. I have trouble with that one. It's just like, I still feel like there should be shame, but I don't know why. I don't have a good reason for it. It's just total elitism.
Well, I think I can work you out of this, maybe, through my little presentation here. See, you know, I think, you know, girl music, I think things like, you know, Bjork, like Lady Bird Slideshow, just, you know, Elena Young, this is stuff I've played, right? I haven't played a song by a guy yet, I don't think, right? And I never will. That's not entirely true, but anyway. So, of course, the first song in your girl music podcast was...
It started
Fergie.
With Black Eyed Peas,
yeah,
right?
Black Eyed Peas, Fergie. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, I see what he's going for here, you know? Is that, Okay, he's talking about music you should be ashamed of listening to, sort of. But that's super catchy, right?
Yeah, damn, course, that's a good song.
I was like, so I'm going to go you one better. I'm going to go you... Now, Jimbo, off the old writings board there, he is a Navy guy, and he was the one who actually introduced this song to on his live journal there. So, yeah, Hilary Duff's Come Clean, and I found the best remix I could. I actually listened to Hilary Duff's entire discography at work to find just the perfect song to represent shameless crassness in marketing. And really, I think this is the one. And it's catchy. I like it.
You know, speaking of Jimbo, I'm sure it's probably still out there, but he did this thing years ago called the Tamarind Challenge, where we mailed him some tamarind. And he ate it on camera. And when he got to the part three with the tamarind paste, it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't tell him that you're not really supposed to eat that. So here's the kind of song you were playing.
Let's go.
Duff spells her name, one L.
Maybe. I don't know.
So what that song makes me think of is, I remember Ian saying a couple of times about how, you know, the music that really gets her pumped and gets her going is dancey stuff, mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just somehow, like, just couldn't quite believe that, like, you mean you never just bop around your room to that shit? And the very term bop, there's a problem already. Yeah. No, for me, it was much more Slipknot, thinking about pushing my thumbs into the eye sockets of kids that bullied me in school. That's what got me going more.
Yeah.
But then Hemda brought that up, too, on Keith and the Girl, of just, like, these, I think specifically she was talking about this semi-dance remake of You Spin Me Right Round.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
except,
yeah.
Have you heard that? It's so awful. Yeah. You, but now it's about blowjobs. You spin me right round when you go down.
Okay. Oh, okay. That, yeah, yeah. I've heard remixes of that remix.
So her and Patrice were talking about how, you know, it's these songs you know you shouldn't like, but but your fucking ovaries, you can't help it. You just like...
Man, wow. That's like, that's girl music.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess there's something about... that I find unappealing, you know? Like,
yeah,
maybe I'd be a better, more free person if I if I appreciated when people just go with their instincts.
It's like I do bop around in my room.
Right.
I don't identify with her or anything, right? But the thing is, that song is all about G-spot orgasms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm coming clean, let the rain fall down. Yeah.
That's
totally.
That was surprisingly subtle. I mean, there's a lot of other songs of that ilk that are a lot more.
Yeah, but it's pretty
obvious.
Impressive that I think that you know, that's what I think this song is about.
But I'm thinking that I think why that notion of that the beat and the dance song that like the women of the world just can't help but want to dance around to.
I actually kind of like that.
It's not that intrinsically that bugs me. I think it's
they wiggled their bums.
Yeah, I think it's so. It's when I transfer that into all the other ways that they make me nuts.
It's like if I've
got to take all that horse shit just to get this good thing, then it's not worth it and you should be resisting this. That's kind of my view, and I'm not at all claiming this is any kind of a mature view of things or even healthy. that's sort of how I
speak to maturity for obvious reasons, but yeah, you know, it's so, you know, that was kind of the kind of song that is. And, you know, I was wondering, like, is it all about context, right? Because, you know, you hear that song, and it's boompa boompa boompa, and it's, you know, it's fun, and it's about, you know, so it's got a girl saying, I'm coming, which is kind of nice, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, but is it all about context? Would I just enjoy a song, you know, like, what makes me feel a bit uncomfortable about liking that song, and I feel a little uncomfortable about enjoying that, you know, does it all just come from context? And I think the answer is almost yes, almost certainly yes, because here's an example of a song by the Akihabara 48, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called, yeah, and 48 is the number of people in the band. They split up into three groups of 16.
I'm assuming they're Japanese.
They are Japanese, yes. And, you see, I know... Well, let's just listen to it.
All right.
And, you know, and I like this song.
Oh,
right, so, you know, I know just enough Japanese to know that that song is very vacuous, that there isn't much going on in it, and, you know, as if, you know, what could possibly be going on in it, right? Well, you know, people write songs about all kinds of things and make it sound like they're singing about vacuous topics. But except for the word yes, that entire song could have just been la 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 la, like at the end, and, you know, it'd be just as enjoyable, except that if it was all la la la's, I would know that there was nothing in it.
Right.
Right? But here I can just kind of, I can think of it as almost classical music. It's an instrumental piece if I don't understand the language.
So that song, this might not be exactly related to that song, but it made me think of this stuff, so we might be jumping tracks a little.
Cool. Let's go.
But this makes me think of the concept of shame. Shame in music. Where, like I said, I'm going to be the old man who's no fun, stick in the mud in some ways in this this discourse.
Okay.
Where, well...
So you're saying that song is lousy and I should be ashamed?
No, but it makes me think of others who I think should be ashamed.
Yes, yes.
And I'll explain why. Before we started recording, we were talking a bit about a guy I knew in Vancouver who I liked a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But all of his musical tastes were... They were so weirdly girly that even my girlfriend at the time mocked him for his taste in music. And he listened to mostly guy bands, but it was like Matchbox 20 is coming to mind as a good
guy
example.
Guy bands that girls like.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Like everything was very declawed, and there was no balls to anything he listened to. But that's a little bit of a side thing. Taking that to a way more extreme, what this makes me think of, for obvious reasons, are anime theme songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have always been super baffled by the whole phenomenon of Japanese anime theme songs, where sometimes I really like them. Sometimes you watch a show enough times, you get to like it. It's really catchy. Mm-hmm.
Evangelion's is good.
Yeah. But as a broad phenomenon, they're virtually all in the same ballpark as what we just listened to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why, because these shows are mostly the shows I was watching anyway, aimed at young men or boys.
Ah.
And how do they like this? How do they buy the fucking soundtrack albums? How do they listen to this horse shit? Maybe the answers stare me in the face because all the protagonists in these shows tend to be spineless and emasculated and make me want to punch them in the mouth.
Hey, I'm staring you in the face.
but I'm thinking, like, did you ever see that show Love Hina?
Barely. Like, I didn't enjoy it.
Or maybe I read the comic more or tried, but it's a guy in...
He takes a massage parlor? Or?
In a hot springs. He takes
hot
a residency
springs,
in
right,
a hot springs,
right.
And there's just hot girls everywhere, and
yeah,
he's the biggest
Yeah, you
wuss.
Complained about that a lot.
It was just taking everything to the nth degree,
yeah,
but
yeah.
But the shows are almost universally like that. And so maybe it's obvious why they have such horrifyingly shit theme songs, but I just don't understand. Like, what's wrong with these? And it's not just, I mean, Japan, who knows? Japan's a weird foreign culture. But there's a whole bunch of people I've known personally who are mm-hmm. way into this shit. And
wow.
It's like all they listen to is this kind of shit. And it's awful. It's like, that's where I feel like maybe you should be somewhat ashamed that you don't ever listen to anything that has some fucking guts to it. It's all just the most candy-coated, most produced, faker than NSYNC could have been in their fakest day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck's going on? I just don't understand. It freaks me out.
Yeah, well, I mean, this actually brings me right to the next point, which is that, you know, a lot of things in music, like, is it context? Well, you know, yes. That was a song where, you know, you can enjoy that song as long as you don't know anything about the context. And I have, for example, a song where the only way you can enjoy it is through knowledge of its context. This song is Shoot Me in the Ass by Wesley Willis from his album Feel the Power.
It's unexpected.
Reach in your pocket for a handgun. Lever at my booty hole. Put a trigger on me. Shoot me with a gunshot.
Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass.
Pluck me for a hose in my booty hole. Fill me full of lead and my ass crack. Take my life away from this earth. Blow my ass away from this world.
Shoot me in the ass. 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 Introduce me to my grave. Deprive me of my everlasting life. Blow me off the face of this earth. Leave me lying on the street corner dead. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass. Shoot me in the ass.
Rock over London, rock on Chicago, Budweiser. It's the king of beers.
Man, I gotta look up Wesley Willison. Like, I'm just curious, how did this begin? How did this phenomenon begin?
Well, Jelly Biafra.
Jello, right?
Jello Biafra found him, playing on the street or something. And, you know.
For anyone not in on the joke, just go listen to any other Wesley Willis song, and you'll understand.
Yeah. If you don't know who Wesley Willis is, just look up Alanis Morissette.
Or They Threw Me Out of Church is a good one, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I wouldn't say Alanis Morissette is a good one, right? Like, it's representative, and it's one of the better representative ones, but yeah. And, yeah, so that's a song where if you don't know what's going on in it, if you haven't got, if that were in a different language, it would just be annoying, and it's kind of annoying to listen to in parts there. Like, what's that middle section, a minute and a half long?
Halfway through, we started laughing for no apparent reason.
And that's really the key element of ironic enjoyment, right?
Right.
You know? Like, it's like you start wondering, what the hell? You know? Like, who thought this was a good idea? And like I say, apparently he did.
Yeah, I guess the Jello Biafra thing explains who got him, gave him the leg up, because I just don't think he would have the gumption to take this act on the road or whatever and put out a CD on his own, you know? But it is so weirdly hilarious that every fucking song is just that, the pre-programmed keyboard stupid shit and the same exact setup to each of his songs, like... So weird.
But here's the thing. You can't use context to decide that a song is not going to be worth listening to, right? Because I'm going to present you a song here, which you mentioned music with balls, right?
Right.
Well,
see, that's where I think my original girl music show maybe got off track and confused, is then I started playing, like, tough-ass Sheryl Crow songs, or Republica.
That was awesome. Home is such a great song.
Yeah, or Ready to Go, the Republica song, where I was trying to argue that wasn't even a girl song.
Yeah, well, it's not what you meant by girl songs. What you meant by girl songs is songs that make you feel unmanly
right.
when you listen to them. But I tell you what, You know, you go in a dance club, you can dance to anything. And if you're grinding, you know, if you're grinding against a chick while you're dancing to anything, you feel manly. You know?
Right.
It really, you know.
It was funny.
You know, if it's working your mojo, it really helps. And, yeah, free you up that way.
That makes me think of this girl named Jennifer that I knew in Vancouver. When I first moved there, I had problems with my landlord.
Oh, yeah, her.
She lived upstairs. Yeah, yeah. She was so cool, like the coolest chick in the world. She let me stay on her couch, and she was big into going out to clubs and shit, so I went out with her a couple of times. And I remember we were at this club in Vancouver, and first off, I was disappointed because I'd never really been to dance clubs with long lines, and, you know, the only reason I probably even got in was because she was super hot. And I was disappointed because even I knew that what they were playing was, like, what was cool 8 months ago. It was not the beautiful people with their cutting-edge cool shit that I had no idea about. It was very generic radio bullshit. But my favorite part of the night was every once in a while they'd throw in some fucking Welcome to the Jungle or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, ooh, finally, you know, it's not my favorite song in the world, but at least I can listen to that.
Yeah.
And that's part of what made this girl Jennifer so cool, is that she would rock out with me to those
excellent
songs. But it was clear that she was doing it in sort of an ironic, silly way. Not really into it, just willing to go along with the gag.
Which is kind of how, you know, I feel. I have the theory, plug your nose and dance. I think I might have even typed that to you. You know,
that's funny. I like that.
I was like, plug your nose and dance. And, you know, just enjoy what you can about the situation, you know? And, but yeah, like I say, so I have here a song that combines girl music and music with balls. This is a song, and in context, it's a song that should not be good under any circumstances. It's from a musical, right? About the Wicked Witch of the West, right? And that shouldn't, you know, like, what? You know, should that be good? It's like,
so is this, is Wicked? Is that what
it is? It is Wicked, okay. Yes, it's from Wicked. And you know, years ago when I was acting a little bit, you know, they were like, you know, everyone, all the girls in Liz Estrada there were like, oh, Wicked, woo, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, and I was like, oh, can't be any good. I looked up the book, you know, and I was like, the book I didn't read it, but what I did read didn't impress me at all. I was like, no, okay, I won't look at that. And how did that, oh, right, yeah, one day, some people at karaoke did this Defying Gravity song, right? And after that, I was like, wow, that was so cool. Okay, I need to find a copy of that. So, using dubious internet methods,
right,
I happened to find a version of Carrie Ellis, who I guess played the character of the Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West. This is Carrie Ellis's version of Defying Gravity from her little EP, Wicked in Rock, right? And I guarantee you, this song has more balls and is sung in an unironic sense. You know, it's totally, there's no irony in this song whatsoever. And it's about the Wicked Witch of the West was friends with Glinda the Good Witch. And, you know, this is essentially her saying goodbye to that friend after they've done something. I don't know. I haven't read the fucking, I haven't read the book or seen the musical. I just think this is a real kick-ass song.
Accepting limits 'cause someone says they're so. some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love, I guess I've lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. Just had a vision, almost like a prophecy. I know it sounds truly crazy and true, the vision's hazy, but I can see it, I can feel it, I swear I'll be so high. Yeah, yeah. So if you can find me, look to the western sky.
My thoughts on that are, it might be just like the operatic style of singing, but that's like one degree of separation from Iron Maiden, you know? Iron Maiden could do that song, I think, and it's
that'd be cool.
Yeah, it probably would be good, right?
yeah, like that song, that's got balls.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, shit, and like I say, I heard about it, someone did that at karaoke. Actually, a pair of people, you know, because the version they had at karaoke was more like directly from the musical. So it's just like, you know, there's bits where they're singing and singing and talking to each other. But this one is just the plain song. I'm like, wow, that's so awesome.
I'm curious about that because karaoke is one of those things that always tends to be more sedentary than I expect. People generally are not as theatrical as I would care for them to be.
True, true.
But what about that song? How could you even sing it without shaking
it
your
so
fist?
Cool.
And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was so cool. And like I said, they nailed, like, they came in 1 week. And they didn't nail it. It was kind of sad, right?
Right?
You know? But I have faith, you know? And that didn't change anything. They came in the next week, and regardless of my faith is what I'm getting at.
right?
You know? I have faith in karaoke is what I mean. And, you know, they came in next week, sober, nailed it. I was stunned, right? I was like, holy shit. And yeah. And this is just a really awesome version of it. But here's the thing. If I told you, hey, there's this song from this musical that's really awesome and you should listen to it, you might actually take me up on that, right?
But maybe.
You know, some random Yahoo's like, oh man, there's this musical about the Wicked Witch of the West. And, you know, but I just like the song in and of itself. And it really is a well-written. You know, it's a well-written song. It's not, you know, it's not syrupy. It's not, you know, like, you know, it's a little, no, it's not, you know, it's optimistic, but it's not syrupy, and I like that.
And I do find musicals in general, maybe it's just a necessity because songs need to catch you the first time for a musical to be effective, so they tend to have a certain generic musicalness, like as in part of a musicalness to them. And that song didn't have too much of that, a little teeny touch, but... But not as bad as usual.
Well, I mean, you know, I can show you a version of the of it from an actual play, right? It's more musically, right? But it's still the same song, and it's great, right?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of songs that won't be on the podcast.
I think that point was worth making.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Well, we just listened to The Math by Hilary Duff. I wasn't sure we would...
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, that's right. We were...
I was like, speaking of songs that won't be in the podcast, and...
Right, then, we got off on our own little divergence and listened to a Hilary Duff song.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, I think I can totally be part of this, because I kind of dug that song. It very much reminded me of the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack,
which is awesome.
Fucking fantastic soundtrack. Super great. And, yeah, and what I was saying about that song is that's the kind of thing where if I had a daughter and it's presumed that she's probably not going to listen to Alice in Chains, she's probably better that she doesn't. <You know? laughs> If all is going well and she's listening to the normal music she's supposed to listen to, I would way rather it be that type of song that's got some pep to it and some upbeat positivity and some kind of toughness in a cool way than like... Gwen Stefani, who I can't fucking stand her solo career. It's so awful. Every song, except the very first
one. I like that, yeah, that first one, the TikTok one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that called? I don't even remember. What You Waiting For.
What You Waiting For. Yeah, that was cool.
So she started off with a bang, and then every song...
whimpered.
Yeah, it was so vapid, and so I'm rich, I'm pretty, and it's awful. Ah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would be all right with the Hilary Duff thing.
Yeah, well, it's the Disney sound machine, right? So... whatever you want to make of that.
So now that we're blabbing, though, I might as well finish off with just that little walk down Girl Music Lane, things that mm-hmm. it made me think of. Going back to the anime theme song thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's just this one anime theme song I like a lot that I want to play. It's, you remember Child's Toy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kodomo no Omocha.
Kodomo no Omocha.
And it was... See, it's a show I remember liking a lot.
Right? It sounds a little bit like the Aitakata.
I'm sure I would never have the patience to watch that show again at this point. But,
oh, God, no.
But it was weird in that the irony of it was about a 10-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl, and it was a show for kids, but it was so much tougher and cooler than these shows I was describing earlier with
yeah,
these
like,
spineless idiots.
Oh, shit, what was that one that had, like, the 80 episodes and... Oh, God, I'm not narrowing it down
you
at all.
You mean like Marmalade Boy and
stuff? Marmalade Boy, yeah, yeah.
But I don't even mean that. I mean, yeah, those are syrupy girl romance shows, but obviously this show is tougher than that. But I mean, this is tougher than shows like Love Hina, you know?
Right.
This is tougher than shows that are supposed to be for guys.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
And I just think that's weird.
Akito.
Yeah.
Akito was hard ass, man, in that.
Yeah, and it was like basically a romance cartoon, but with little kids and with weird, wacky nonsense all through it.
I loved the mother character there. You know, I didn't really like the squirrels in the hair, but I loved her lack of work ethic.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good little weird shit in that. And this theme song, this band, unfortunately, every other song I heard by them is really syrupy and terrible.
Yeah.
But they were kind of a step above for Japanese pop just because they actually played instruments. And this one song is, it kind of reminds me of Sloan a little bit. And it's just kind of a nice rockin' cool song. It's called 6 o'clock News, but I don't know what that is in Japan.
Yeah.
Japanese. Jukuji no News or something.
Jukuji no News.
Cool. And it's just fucking cool.
And it's Jukuji no because that is the name, that is the word for 18 in... maybe it was 7 o'clock. Was it 6 o'clock? Yeah, 6 o'clock.
I don't know what time it was.
I think it was like 6 or 7.
Whatever time the news was on.
Jukuji. I don't remember which number is which, but it's you know, because they're using a 24-hour clock.
Right.
Yep. And so it's, yeah, the news of 18 or 19. 19, I'm sure it's 19.
But I guess Hilary Duff kind of reminds me of this, too. It's just it's weird that, like... And like that guy I knew in Vancouver listening to his gay Matchbox 20, whereas some girl listening to Hilary Duff is actually listening to tougher music than he was listening to. That's what this reminds me of. It's like, even though this is the theme song to a show for children and girls, it's tougher than and cooler than most of the theme songs for...
It's really hard. Like, you have to like stuff because you like stuff, right? It's, you know, you can't go and say, oh, you know, I only listen to death metal... I mean, you can, right? But you're missing out on all kinds of things. But you have to reel it in sometimes, too. You're like, no, I don't need to listen to that. I'm good, right?
Right.
And it's just a matter of going back and forth and, you know, being open and then and being open until you're too open and you're like, wait a minute, I'm wasting my life. And then, you know, and then closing off and, you know, moderation in all things.
Right.
Especially moderation.
アバウトに生きてはいる
ないものねだり。予測のできない夜が女の子には来るのさ。だからいつも君に口紅が消えるまでハートに抱きしめ合いたい。この街のスクリーンに僕らが映し出される。誰も見上げてみてる。脚光を浴びるなら自分で動かなきゃ。明日の出来事も燃えてる愛、これからを支えてゆくだろう。19時のキャスター黙ってこれ以上はもう。ああ二人なら乗り越えてゆける。打てば響くような。心と心を重ねて、ああ幸せを間違えちゃいない。泣いて笑って今僕たちのこの運命がほら暮れてゆく日を追ってく。お願い僕たちの中を、ああ責めないで信じた無機質を。気のないこの街恋して煙を上げよう。ああアバウトに生きてはいけない。19時のキャスター伝えて地球の裏まで。
So now to finish it off, one last song, just because I downloaded a big torrent full of cover songs the other day, and the only ones I kept were Stereophonics doing Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, nice.
Which was neat, but I'm going to have to listen to it a little more to see if I really want to play it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that got me is Tattoo doing How Soon Is Now, where that one I was like, oh, that's neat, but, you know, I'll probably delete this when I get home. But then I listened to it once more. Oh, actually, that's really cool. And then the more I listened to it, the more I liked it.
It's a great song when done by anybody. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's just that, I think I even made the bold statement to you a couple of weeks ago that this may be the quintessential, if you had to pick the best 80s song to send into space, I might pick this song.
It's a great song.
Which is weird, too, because
I'd choose Take On Me.
Yeah, that's a very good choice, too. That probably is more representative of the 80s. I think, because that's one thing with this, with How Soon Is Now, is it's not even representative of the Smiths. It's nothing like other Smiths.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very weird. And it's got this weird history of being a B-side that they didn't think was ever going to be any good. Yeah. The problem is I've heard the Smiths version far too many times, and it's actually extremely long if you don't get the radio edit. It's a very long song, far too long. So this one is the Tattoo slightly candied up version.
But that's nice.
Yeah, it is really
actually,
cool.
I want to hear it. Like, you know,
yeah, I got it on my little thing, my MP3 player. My SD
I'm sure
card.
We can YouTube it or something.
And that too.
Yeah.
And that's one of those weird things when I was...
I mean, I'm sure we can go buy the CD.
Yeah, right.
In the next 10
I'm sure
seconds.
I've said many times in this show that I make no bones about stealing music, and I never will. So fuck all of you musicians. I don't give a shit about you. Fuck off. That's my official... That is my mature view on the subject.
I guess it's if they want money from you, they can come play your goddamn town.
Yeah, find new ways in this crazy climate to
We're
keep your head
We're all buskers
above
now.
Because it's not up to me to protect you. Sorry, but the flood of technology is not my fault. I'm just riding the wave.
A rising tide raises all ships.
Nice, I like that. But I remember on my way home, and this is just one of these weird little thoughts.
Sinking tide leaves crap on the beach.
But one of these little thoughts that I don't necessarily, I don't know, I didn't bother dissecting it too deeply, but I was disappointed listening to this song knowing that this girl can't really sing like this.
Oh, she can't?
I'm certain not, no, because I don't think they put Tattoo together based on their amazing vocal prowess, you know, and there's some very, like, on-a-dime crazy shifts in this song that, even more so than whatever Morrissey was mumbling his way through, I'm certain that they're fake, that they're
Morrissey has an interesting way about him where he, and I really like this, it's like, he considers his voice an instrument that should be playing all the time.
Right.
Through the song, like, you know, he just, you know, he will just sing, you know, he's always singing something as much as he can. And, you know, that gets a little annoying in some spots, but he's so, you know, he's really good. And I don't know if annoying is the right word, but it's that's what makes it annoying, is when you're trying to sing along and you're like, stop, I need to breathe. I need to breathe.
I think that with this Tattoo thing, all I gotta do is I just gotta stop thinking of these produced bands as a person, you know, like I think
that's what I do.
All I gotta do in my head is I need to append the word experience. If I think of this as the Tattoo experience or the Britney Spears experience, you know, just whatever the marketing machine is, then I'm into it. If I start pretending it's a person that has any control over anything, it's great. But if I try to pretend that it is, then it's like, but I know that's a horrible lie. So here's the
terrible lie.
Exactly. So here's the Tattoo experience with How Soon Is Now.
We'll be right back.